In Psalm 103, we've been looking at this all through the week, and if you haven't been with us, this is our fifth part of this series, and we're talking about faith in God's ways, faith in His ways. And if you haven't been with us, go online, faithlife.org, and go to the Word Supply, and the previous messages and a lot of other things are there. No charge, no cost. Our partners, and many of you are in here, have underwritten this. And I believe that's a good seed. I think you'll have people come up to you in heaven and thank you. And that you sent something to them you didn't know. Because every day, us and ministries like us sending out all kind of things. We sent out millions of messages this past year. Amen. And you are actually about 10 million. And you partners helped underwrite that. Nobody paid anything for a message. Is that great or is that great? Well, you're the partner, right? We did it. The Lord did it by us, with us. And so I believe it'll grow. And we've been looking at this Psalm 103 where verse 7 said, He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. So He distinguishes between the ways and the acts. You can see what God did. That doesn't mean you know Him or have any understanding of how He works. Do you have a desire to know Him better? Then you won't know Him without knowing something about His ways, how He does things. And this is this is actually where the benefit of elders comes in. There's one area you will never catch your elders in. Experience. Are y'all awake? Because they simply got started before you did, right? And if you progress like you should, then at some point, you're the elder. And how many that have been walking with the Lord for more than a year or two, you've learned some things that you didn't realize initially. And over a period of time, I know there was a particular thing that I was seeking the Lord about, and I asked Him to, I wanted to understand it, and I requested of Him and inquired of Him, and as far as I could tell, I got no answer, no anything that week. Or the next, or the year, or the next. 10 years later. Somebody say 10 years.
10 years.
Is that a long time to God?
No.
That's no time at all to God. 10 years later, I was going about my business doing something else, and He just starts talking to me about that. And I had to be reminded that I had asked Him 10 years ago. But as He was speaking to my heart and dealing with me about showing me, I realized if He had shown me 10 years ago, I wouldn't have understood what He was talking about. I had to grow, I had to develop for Him to even be able to answer my question. Do you realize a 3-year-old can ask you a question? You could answer it perfectly, doesn't mean they would understand what you were saying. Well, there's a bigger gap between us and God than that. When He says, my little children, it's not a figure of speech. So He distinguished between ways and acts. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Hebrews 3. You believing with me this evening? Thank you. Hebrews 3, and 1. This passage that we looked at in Psalms, we see things that relate to it in Psalm 95. And then we see that quoted here in Hebrews 3. And like we looked last night, it's like three times here and then another time in chapter 4. So this is obviously something that we should pay attention to. Amen. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful. Now, the Lord pointed this out to me today. I hadn't noticed it as much, that this was the theme before he got to the verses we've been looking at. Somebody say faithful.
Faithful.
The Lord faithful to him that appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. Somebody say faithful.
Faithful.
Keep going. This man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who builds the house has more honor than the house. Now look at verse 5 for time's sake. Moses verily was what? Do you see, he keeps talking about this, right? This is a focus. Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. If you hadn't noticed it already, if you're reading about in the Old Testament where God gave the law to Moses, and he gave him the statutes, the ordinances, and he gave him the entire blueprint for the tabernacle, all of the furniture, all of the utensils, I mean to the detail. And you'll find, as you're getting near, Exodus, near the end of the book there, especially chapter 40 along in there, it says, as the Lord commanded Moses, so Moses did. And I mean, this is repeated over and over. Why? That's why this is saying Moses was faithful. The scripture says it's required in a steward that a person be found faithful. And I believe it's the Living Translation says, instead of saying that, it says that a servant does exactly what his master tells him to do. That is the definition of faithfulness. And the only time Moses got in trouble,
that's right,
is when he didn't do it the way the Lord told him to do it.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Other than that, he had a stellar record, just showing that no matter how much you know God or how much you get close, you can have a bad day. Huh?
Yeah.
And he let the people make him mad. Now, I expect you and I would have got mad too with that bunch. They were called unfaithful. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But Moses, I mean, except for that situation, you know, striking the rock instead of speaking to it, I mean, there must have been 1,000 things that the Lord told him to do. And I mean, he did it exactly the way the Lord told him, the way the Lord told him to do it. And you see why God chose him and why he is called faithful. Anybody have a desire to be faithful before the Lord? So he said Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were spoken after. And in verse 7 he says, as the Holy Spirit said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. I was grieved with that generation. And so they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. What is it? We talk sometimes about grieving the Spirit. What would cause the Spirit to be grieved? Well, us insisting on ignoring Him and doing it our way. Y'all away. And here the scripture said that God was grieved with them for four decades out there because they just would not choose to do it His way, which is the opposite of faithfulness. Now, it says, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Notice this phrase, in what? Departing from the living God. Now, you can't depart somewhere you haven't been. Departing from the living God. That he sums that up. This was the culmination, the results of not choosing His ways, not trusting Him, not listening to Him, hardening the heart. And the result was an evil heart of unbelief. Now, that the reason it says it that way is because there is an unbelief that's just the result of ignorance. But this is not that. This is an unpersuadableness that no matter how many opportunities you get, you won't change. Now, God is the only one qualified to judge that. You and I are not, and it's one of the reasons we are commanded not to judge. But all human beings on the planet right now, all the billions of them and every previous generation and any that'll follow, God sees the hearts of the person. And in the time that we have down here, we demonstrate whether we will side with Him and whether we have a capacity to be faithful or whether we refuse to. And there, in after this life, all human beings are not going to be saved. And all human beings are not going into heaven and into glory and into the eternal kingdom of God. You would not want a perpetual eternal rebel living beside you. No, you won't. That'd mess up heaven. Well, and it's not God who's sending people to hell. Hell was made for the devil and his bunch. But if you don't want to commit to God, there's only one other place to go. There's only one other group to be a part of. And so it's not God's choice. But only He knows. And you know, it's going to be great. There are going to be a lot of people who got saved last minute. Yeah. I mean, as they were breathing their last, they said, Jesus, have mercy on me. You remember the thief hanging on the cross? Huh? And they will be saved. But there'll be others who will not be saved. And the example is the devil himself. Because those who follow the devil take on his ways. And those who follow God take on his ways. Well, the devil will never repent. He will never submit to God willingly. He won't. And you see in the scriptures where that a big angel is going to come down and grab him and slap some chains on him and throw him in the pit and shut the door. Just one big angel of God. And then not a thing he can do about it. He ain't as big and bad as he cracks himself up to be. And here's the thing. For 1,000 years, He's going to get to think about himself and what he's done in the pit. And he's going to be let out for a little while. And what does the Bible say? The first thing he does, soon as he gets out, he goes to stir up a rebellion against God. What does that show you? He will never change. It wouldn't matter if he had a billion of the chance. And God knows that. And so some people that follow him are that way too. It wouldn't matter if they had another million opportunities. But God knows when that is and what that is, and he's qualified to judge it. And there's going to be a separation of the faithful from the unbelievers. Do you believe that you are a part of the faithful?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes,
sir. Well, it shouldn't just be a theory. What does it mean to be faithful to God? We need to know what we're talking about. When we're talking about the ways of God, last night we talked about that God's way, a big part of his ways, is love. And that love doesn't force. Love leads. Fear is what forces. And tonight's another big one. God is faithful. And his ways are faithful and true. And when we say ways, think about it like this. God's ways are what he is. His way is love because he is love. His way is faithfulness because he is faithful. Come on, say it out loud. God is faithful.
God is faithful.
His ways are what he is. And our ways are what we are. What you are inside comes out in how you do things. And what you do, your ways reveal what you are. God's ways show what he is. And we're there in Hebrews, go to the 10th chapter. It said they didn't enter in because of unbelief and because of departing from the living God. In Hebrews 10 and 35, end of the chapter there, 10:35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. That's the word for endurance, perseverance. Say it out loud. You need to endure. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Somebody say after.
After.
You've done the will of God. Verse 37. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. He's not going to wait indefinitely. How many believe the Lord is coming? He is. No matter what people think, he's coming. And that's what Brother Jesse said. Jesse DePlanis said the Lord had been dealing with him this previous year. He hasn't shared his heaven experience all the time. It's just been a few places here and there. And we've talked about it. It's holy to him. But he said one of the last things the Lord said to him is tell people I'm coming. Tell them I'm coming. Get ready. And he said, they know that. He said, no, they don't. No, tell them I'm coming. Get ready. And so he feels like, you know, are we last days or what do you think? We're the last that anybody's experienced. Later than anybody's been. And so he's going to do this in talking about us getting ready. Getting ready for him to come. And he said, he will come, and the just shall live by faith. Faith and faithfulness are connected. Our faith is in the faithful God. And it takes faith for us to be faithful.
Yes.
Huh? Faith and faithfulness are connected. The just shall live by faith. But now notice this, and see, this goes right back to that third chapter we were looking at. But if any man do what?
Draw back.
Depart. Pull back. Leave. Unhook. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. This is another way of saying why he was grieved with those. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And faith enables you to be faithful and keep moving with God. And not quit. And not unhook. And not turn back. The things that grieved the Lord about the group in the wilderness is they kept wanting to go back. Do you remember that?
Yes.
To turn back and go back to Egypt. Go back to bondage. And God took it personally. What other way could you take it? You talk about moving heaven and earth to get somebody out of jail. I mean, the world had never heard of such signs and wonders. God shook that place to the core, to its knees. And nobody would have thought that would have happened in Egypt. Nobody in the world of that day would have thought they would have willingly let all of their slave labor just leave. But they did, because they had no choice. God brought them out with a mighty hand. Oh, hallelujah. With an outstretched arm. I want us to try to see it from his perspective. And one of the first things he did, he got them to the mount. And he personally came down in fire and shook the place and spoke out of the fire and entered into a covenant with these people.
Yes.
Thank you.
This is akin to marriage. Entered into a covenant with his people. And he's saying, if you'll commit to me, I'm committing to you. I'm telling you what to do. You do this and don't mess with these other gods. And I will be your God. And you'll be my people. This is God's heart. And he is pledging faithfulness. And he is asking for... Is that unreasonable?
No.
It's not unreasonable. He's asking for... faithfulness. Are y'all okay?
Yes.
Go to, let's see. The book of Acts, the 7th chapter. And then we'll look in Psalm 78. You in a big hurry tonight? This is important. We, in the beginning of the week, we talked about, Lord, we want to know your ways.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Do we?
Yes.
How many believe one of the big things about God's ways? Faithful.
Yes.
He is faithful and true. Now, faithful, a definition of faithful is literally firm, steadfast. One definition is permanent. I like that word. Permanent. And what it means is you can count on it. You can put pressure on it. You can put weight on it. You can build on it. It won't move.
Okay, good.
It's not leaving.
Yeah, good.
It's not going anywhere.
Yes,
it will be there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Does that describe God, or is it, does, huh? Some of the greatest words you and I ever heard. I will never leave you or forsake you.
Thank you.
Oh, so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man could do to me. Why? Because I got the rock of ages under me and with me and for me. He's going nowhere. He has made that commitment to us. And he requires a commitment from us to him. And that faithfulness includes that this is permanent. No turning back. No turning around. No getting halfway and say, we're going to try us out a new God. Uh-uh. Nope. Somebody say permanent.
Permanent.
Permanent. We are in covenant with Almighty God forever. Throughout the endless ages, he is ours. We are his. His permanent banner over us is the unending, unchanging, unfailing love of the eternal God. Somebody say faithful. Faith, faithful. Faithful. But God has proven his faithfulness. He has. It's us that need to demonstrate our faithfulness, our part of the covenant. He, in the book of Acts, he said, chapter 7 and verse 39. Acts 7 and 39, it said, to whom our fathers would not obey, talking about Moses, but they thrust him from them, and in their hearts they turned back again to Egypt. And they said to Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And they made a calf and offered sacrifice to idols. And that's when God told Moses, stand back. Leave me alone. I'm going to do away with them. And he said, I'll start over with you, Moses. I'll make of you a greater nation.
Yeah.
I didn't always understand that, but the Lord helped me to see something a number of years ago when a situation I did not understand, that he can do things more than one way.
Yeah.
Even though something was his will,
yes,
he won't make people do it. And if they won't do it, even though it was his will and his plan, he'll say, okay, I'll use somebody else.
Yeah.
But you and I are not going to experience that. We are going to be faithful and be included and be used. In Psalm 78, Psalm 78 and verse 8, this whole psalm deals with what we're talking about right now. He said that they might not be as their fathers, Psalm 78, 8, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Remember our text we kept reading that he said they always are wrong in their heart and they have not known my ways. Their heart was not right with him and they were not what?
Steadfast
in his covenant. That's 37, excuse me. Verse 40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they did what? They did what?
Turn back.
Now, that literally means they wanted to go back to Egypt. And that means unhooking from him. even though they all stood out there in the shadow of the fire and the thunder and heard the voice of God and entered covenant with each other, it didn't last a month. Unfaithful. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
That's unfaithful. And, I mean, Moses hadn't been gone, the 40 days? And they said, let's make us some new gods. Wonder where that thought came from. Hadn't been 2 months. They heard the audible voice of God speaking out of the fire, out of the mountain. And what's one of the first things he said? You will have no other gods. Is that right? And you don't make any image. Said, they turned back and they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. He had so much he wanted to do with them. He already had the promised land. He wanted to see them victory after victory after victory, roll over all the opposition. He wanted to see them move in. They're a slave people. Their parents were slaves. Their grandparents were slaves. He wants to see them sitting in the hammock on their own farm and their house full of... Are y'all with me? God is a good God. And they limited him from doing that. Because they wouldn't fulfill their part of the covenant. They wouldn't be faithful to him. They wouldn't say, Lord, I'm with you no matter what. They tempted and provoked the Most High, verse 56, the Most High God, and kept not his testimonies. They turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. He's talking about a bow and arrows. And they didn't have compound bows and crossbows and all that back then. You'd find you the right tree, the right limb, the right branch. But if you got the wrong one, and you didn't know it, you didn't get the right branch or the right wood, you could be in the middle of a battle and go to pull an arrow and the thing fold on you. It didn't retain its tension and its strength. And he said, that's what these people are like. You depend on them to do something and they fold and they're not there and you can't count on them. And that's what he said. They don't know my ways. What's his ways? He's faithful. Huh? He wants you to be like him. I said he's faithful. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Numbers 14 and the third verse, and this was the 10th big episode of this happening. Every time there was some kind of problem, they needed water, or whatever the issue was, they immediately started hollering, why didn't you leave us in Egypt? We should go back to Egypt. And he's feeding them spectacular miracles of manna falling out of the sky, elsewise they'd be starved to death long ago, and they said, we despise this manna. It's just manna in the morning, manna at lunch, manna. And back in Egypt, we had cucumbers. And we had watermelons. And we had garlic and onions. And you were a slave, dummy. Now you're laughing, but how do you forget that little point? And the taskmasters were given regular beatings. And verse 3, They said, why has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? The wives of our children should be prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said to one another, let's make a captain and let's return to Egypt. Let's go back. And this was when the Lord said, okay, you're going to get what you're saying. You've been saying ever since you left, we're going to die out here in the wilderness. And that's what you're going to get. But you think it couldn't happen, but your descendants, I'm going to take them in. And they will go in. This wanting to go back is the hook that the enemy uses for unfaithfulness. And you got to make up your heart and mind, I'm not going back.
Amen.
Egypt is a type of bondage.
Yeah.
And human beings are not free to sin. They're servants of sin. And the enemy, I don't care if you've been walking with God for 50 years. You hit a rough patch or something, jar you a little bit, the enemy will come right on you and try to get you to quit. Quit. You just need to give up. You just need to quit. He's trying to get you to be unfaithful. To quit God. To leave Him. And go back to what? Somebody say, I refuse. To draw back. To pull back. To go back. I refuse. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When Job was tried, you see the enemy was working on this with him. Do you remember, Revelation talks about that the devil, the accuser of the brethren, accuses them before God day and night. What was he accusing Job of? I want you to listen. In Job 1 and 9, Job 1 and 9, Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? What's the accusation? Keep reading. Have you not made a hedge about him and about his house? And about all that he has on every side, and you've blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath, and what? What? He will quit you. He will leave you. Why? Because he's only in it for what he's getting out of it. He's only in it for the benefits that he's getting. He's not really faithful. Are you all awake?
Yes.
This is the accusation. And there's only one way to prove it. And that's if you're not getting something out of it, or it doesn't look like you're getting something out of it, then what do you do? Do you stay? Or do you quit? It's a bit quiet. Huh? Do you hear the accusation?
Yes.
He's only in it because of the benefits he's getting. The protection he's getting. The prosperity he's getting. The devil is saying, he's questioning Job's commitment to God. He's questioning that Job really loves God for God. Huh? And that if the situation is changed, that he will quit God. He will actually get disrespectful and curse God. This is going on all the time. And the enemy is still the accuser of the brethren. And when he gets his, I'm not going to shed one tear. Huh? He's got it coming. Because he's tried to hurt us and undermine us in all kind of ways we hadn't even been aware of. And he is the accuser of the brethren, accusing them before their God night and day. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, which they never stopped revering, and holding as holy and precious, and the word of their testimony. Like Paul would say, I belong to God. I'm His and I belong to Him. The covenant, the faithfulness, the commitment. Does Job fear God for nothing? Look with me in the book of Ruth. This is a beautiful account. This is not a fairy tale. This is history and so much more. It's anointed word of God. Just what? 4 chapters? It's not very long. But it is beautiful. And it portrays redemption. And it keeps talking about the Redeemer and redemption. Hallelujah. Naomi and her husband, her 2 sons, went to Moab. And Moab was not worshipers of God. They had their own gods. And while they were there, their boys married Moabite women, which was forbidden to them in covenant. But they did. One married a woman named Orpah, and the other the woman named Ruth. But in the process of years, Naomi's husband died. And then after that, both sons died. And so now she is a widow. And their 2 daughters-in-laws are widows as well. And if you look in the first chapter, and let's see, what about the 10th verse or so? You got time for this? Or do I need to be in a rush? Or?
No.
Verse 9, back up to verse 9. She said, the Lord grant that you find rest, each of you in the house of a husband. She kissed them and lifted up their voice and wept. They're saying their goodbyes. Because she's going back to Israel. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. Do you know, relationships with your mother-in-law don't have to be bad.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
This woman has made an impression on these women. You can tell it through the whole thing. And they did not grow up knowing Jehovah God or His things or the law or any of that. But they saw something in her. And living around her and being around her, they came to love her. And even though, now you're awake?
Yes.
Even though seemingly she's got nothing to offer them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the key parts of the story. They say, we'll go. We'll go with you. Keep reading. She said, why will you go with me? And she talked about how that she got no more sons for them to marry. And she said, I'm too old to get a husband. Even if I was, you're not going to wait till these boys would grow up and be your husband. What's she saying? I've got nothing to offer you. There is nothing for you to wait on to get from me. Verse 14, keep going. She said, it grieved me that this has happened this way. And they lifted up their voice and they wept again. So this is not something they did flippantly, like, okay, see you. I mean, they are hugging. They are kissing. They care about each other. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and that means goodbye. And she left. Because Naomi is telling them, leave. You don't need to go with me. No. Nothing for you here. Not going to be anything for you here. Next year or the next. Go back to your family. And go back to your life. But Ruth clave to her. And that word is a word that's associated with faithfulness. And it's like stuck. Ruth was stuck to her. And keep reading. It says, she said, behold, Naomi said, your sister-in-law is gone. Yeah. Back to her people and to her gods. So you need to go with your sister-in-law. And keep going, verse 16. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. Quit telling me to go away. No. Or to return. Huh? You hear that? Yes. That means go back.
Right.
You're with me or not?
Yes.
Don't tell me to go back. For where you go, anybody ever heard this before?
Yes.
This is a description of faithfulness.
Okay.
Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Where you go, what?
I'll go.
I'm going. And where you lodge, where you live, where you stay, that's where I'm going to live. And your people will be my people. And boy, here's one of the greatest things she ever said in her life. Your God. This is why you and I, centuries later, are talking about a woman named Ruth. Huh? Whose name also appears, what, in Matthew? In the holy lineage? Because of this right here. Right here. Where you go, I will go. Now let's just stop right here. All she knows is they're going to a place called Israel. And it seems indicative that they had left there some years before because of hard times. And Naomi has got no wealth. There is no prospect that you can see. And this is true faithfulness. The commitment when there is no benefit in sight.
All right.
Oh, are y'all with me or not?
Yeah.
We're talking about God's ways. Most of the benefits of being in covenant with God are not yet revealed. Purposefully. If all the earth knew how astonishing, how vast, how big, how glorious, everybody would be clamoring But God wants to know if you want him for him. Or for just what he can do. What he's got. He wants to know. So he lets us have a few days in a rough place. Where there's death and curse. And there's lack and scarcity and want. And there's all kind of stuff down here. Now he doesn't want us starving. He wants us to have what we need, but the biggest riches on this planet don't compare with what he's got.
That's right.
And what he's got prepared for them that love him.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I hadn't seen. Ear hadn't heard. Amen. Hadn't entered into the heart of man. I mean, you can get a glimpse. He's revealing bits and pieces by his spirit, but no, we don't. The half has never been told. And there's a reason for that. Reason for that. So here, Ruth is saying, quit telling me to leave. Because I got a made up mind.
Come on.
And you stuck with me. It's me and you. Oh, try to put yourself in their place. The two women alone in the world, in a world that doesn't give a lot of opportunities for women. The world of this day, if you didn't have a husband, if you didn't have contact, it could be really, really bad. And they're traveling by themselves, little to no money and no prospects. Nothing lined up. There's no appointments in Israel waiting on us. There's no deals, no contract, nothing. Nothing on the horizon. Somebody say nothing. Nothing. No prospects of benefit of any kind. When somebody commits to you, and there's nothing they can see of any benefit.
That's right.
You know they really care about you.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
My wonderful, amazing wife married me 48 years ago. And there were no prospects to be seen. In fact, her parents were really disappointed and really upset. Took them years to get over it because they had plans for their beautiful, smart, amazing daughter. You know, big plans. So as God has blessed us over the years, I know we didn't start out that way, and she didn't marry me because of wonderful prospects that she could see. We went in debt for a $3,000 mobile home. And the range didn't work, and the heat didn't work. And she cooked our meals on a, what do you call it, flat iron?
Hot plate.
And some good meals too. On a hot plate. It gets the cold, and this is down south. The water would freeze solid in the toilet, in the bathroom. Wasn't looking too good. But God, he called on us, and we heard the call. And we didn't have a bunch on the table to offer, but we said, Lord, What we are is yours. And we made a commitment. And I hear, you hear people once in a while, they said, you know, I, boy, if this or that don't change, I'm quitting the ministry. I have never said that. And I never will say that by the grace of God. Why? That's unfaithful. I said, that's unfaithful. God's done too much for us. For too many years and too many decades. He has been there. He has been there. Every time, every situation. So what about us? What about us? I got to be there. When He calls on us, I got to be there. Or elsewise, I'm unfaithful. And if I'm unfaithful, I don't know Him. Because He's faithful. And His ways are faithfulness and true. She said, don't tell me to leave. Because where you go, I want to hear you say it. I want to hear you talk about God. Huh? Say, Lord, where you go, I will go. Where you live,
where you stay,
that's where I live.
That's where I stay.
Your people,
are my people.
And your Father God
is my Father God.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 17, keep going. He said, she said, where you die, I'll die. Yes. Wow. Is this commitment?
Yes. Yes.
And where you buried, that's where I'm going to be buried.
Yes.
So when you get a spot, you need to get two.
Get two.
Huh?
Amen.
Yeah. And when you get a place to live, you got to get a place for both of us.
Yes.
And when we get groceries, you got to get enough for both of us. Why? Faithful is permanent. Faithful is fixed. Faithful is no entertaining going back to Egypt, quitting, getting another God. No, not an option, not a discussion, not a thought you allow to entertain. No. She said, and more also, if aught but death part you and me. And verse 18, she must have said it with the conviction because she saw she was what?
Steadfast.
Steadfast is a faithful word. Steadfastly minded to go with her. She said, okay, all right. Okay, I got it. Come on. She might have said, because she's already said this. She said, but no, I can't promise you anything. And she might have said, I didn't ask you. So who they, here they are, two lone widow women, broke, on the dusty trail, but God's smiling. Oh, come on, y'all see this? God is smiling. He is pleased with this, and He's got a setup. He's got a setup. Hallelujah. And when they get there, the people that knew Naomi came and hugged her and, oh man, it's good to see you. And they're calling her Naomi and she said, no, you need to call me Mara because I went out full and I came in empty. And Mara means bitter and my life is bitter now. But the young woman that has had no promises made to her and no commitment, she's not a prima donna. She says, it's harvest time. And you know, they let people work out in the edges of the field, picking up the scraps that the harvesters leave behind. I'm going to go do that. It's hot in the field. It's dusty in the field. You can mess up your nails. No need putting on makeup. Sweat it right off. She's out there. She works all day. Rests a couple hours. Gets back to it. Huh? Picking up, you might say scraps. What somebody left behind. Picking up pieces here, pieces there. What are we looking at? Why are we talking about this? Faithful. Somebody say faithful. Faithfulness won't quit. Faithfulness won't unhook. Faithfulness won't change.
Amen.
I mentioned earlier in the week that I had the privilege at times, as some other folks did too, of being in the speaker's room with Brother Hagin before he was going to the platform and that kind of thing. And I mentioned that, you know, in the earliest days, I tried to bring up something and that didn't work good. And I learned to just listen. And he brought this up, the story I'm about to tell you. Over the years, he must have told it to me and others that were with me, I don't know, at least half dozen times, with no explanation. He'd just tell the story. And then he'd say, go get the service started. And this is what he would tell. He said there was a community where a wealthy man lived, and that he would loan money to the people on occasion in the community. And I knew exactly what he's talking about because the community I grew up in, especially in my grandfather's time, a lot of the folks couldn't get a bank account. And some of them didn't trust the banks after the Great Depression and all that. This man had money and they would go to him and tell him what they wanted, their venture. And oftentimes he would loan them money, just him personally to them. Mm-hmm. But there'd be some kind of security like a title or something or, you know, but it was just an individual. And so that's what he was talking about. And he said the church borrowed money from him and built a thing there with the church, and farmers borrowed money from him, and business people did. And then they had some really bad times, and drought, and they didn't make crops year after year. And because of that, well, the church wasn't getting good offerings either. So the church just quit making any payments. And they said, well, you know, he knows it's just a church. I mean, what can he do with it? He said, well, no, I'll come get it. I'll turn it into a storage place. They said, well, no, he wouldn't do that. He said, yeah, I will. And as the years went by, he overtook this and he overtook that and put the people out, took it. There was one guy that had borrowed money on a farm from him, and he couldn't make a crop for years in a row. And so he sent word to the man and apologized and told him that he would any that he could when he could. But every day, even though the dust in the fields, he would get up and he would go and he couldn't buy paint, but he would get whitewash out of the creek bank and whitewash the fences. And he would take sling blade and cut the weeds and stuff from under it. Well, technically, he lost that farm 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But every morning, he would roll out and go and do what work, just like he was making money. And after a number of months, the man went and repossessed the church and put them out. And then the next week, he went over to the man that was whitewashing his barn and gave him the deed to the place. Oh. And then Brother Hagin would say, all right, y'all go get the service started. What's the point of that story?
Faithfulness
won't quit. Faithfulness won't give up. Faithfulness is connected to faith.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
faithfulness. So Ruth is out there, hot time of the year, hot place of the world, working. working. And you know, a woman alone out with the laborers like that, actually dangerous in that place. But she knew they got to have something to eat. And she's working. And Mr. Boaz comes cruising in. And he is rich. He is really rich. And he's checking on his crops and checking on his harvest. And he spies a woman over there. And he's like, who is that? Who is that woman? You know the story. Next thing you know, she is one of the most prominent women in the whole area. Beautiful child, beautiful house, beautiful clothes. Come on, y'all with me or not? Huh? Redeemed from loneliness, poverty. But come on, how did she get it? Not gold digging. Not running after, not chasing after, not lying, not misrepresenting, not manipulating. Come on, y'all, listen to me. No, this is not what God promotes and blesses and honors. No. The reason he could do this for her, and we're still talking about her all these centuries later. She made a commitment to a woman of God and the woman's God. With no visible prospect of any benefit or any reward. And so if the enemy would say, well, Ruth, you know, doesn't serve God for naught. That's a lie. She already proved it. Is that right? She would serve God best she knew, the best contact she had, all she could do. And tell me what God blesses and what he promotes. What is it that you and I so want to hear at the end of this life? Come on, help me. What do you want to hear? Huh? You've been what? You've been faithful over a few things. He didn't even say everything. That makes me happy, right? I mean, you've been faithful over some things, few things. No, let's just stop right here. What does that mean? It means you didn't quit. You didn't unhook. You didn't leave. You stayed. You got up and whitewashed your barn and cut the weeds out, right? Even though it looked too late and too far, you wouldn't quit. You're just like, no, this is what I got. Yeah. This is what God gave me.
That's right. Amen.
And we're not going to quit. And oh, that's music to your God's ears, because he can do everything else and anything else that you ever imagined and above and beyond what you ever imagined and dreamed. But he won't make you be faithful. That's something he leaves with us.
That's right.
Our choice. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Thank you, Lord. You fill our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Come on, stand up on your feet with me. Stand up and lift your hands and let's praise the Lord for a moment. Lift your hand. Father, we worship you. We praise you. We bless you. We glorify your holy, holy name. Thank you, Master. Take a few minutes. Lift your hands. lift your praise. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I praise you. I bless you. I bless you. I thank you. I thank you. Faithful is the Lord my God. Faithful and true are you in all your ways, gracious God. Faithful, faithful, faithful to me, faithful to mine, faithful, 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 faithful.